Those that are sick, I know that they want to get well to be with their families during this time of year. We're in the book of Revelation, and if you would turn to the book of Psalms. Does anyone know what we talked about last week? Well, we did mention valuable, but I'm talking about in the sense of the chapter in which we spoke about in Revelation, which was chapter 13. And chapter 13 is the introduction of the beast. You remember we talked about he came up out of the sea, and we talked about the sea being the humanity. He came up out of humanity, but where else did we tell you he came from? Not that I tell you, but the Bible tells you. That's what it says in chapter 11 when it's talking about the two witnesses. It says, and after 3.5 years, the beast has power over them and kills them. The beast that cometh up out of the bottomless pit. So the beast or the Antichrist is not only human. Well, if we come up out of the bottomless pit, who's in the bottomless pit? He's demonic. And who's his daddy? Well, it says the dragon, which is Satan, gave him his power. Right? So, Christ came up out of
heaven.
Boom, boom. If I had a wall. No. Humanity. He was all man. He was as much man as you, Dwayne. He was as much man as you, Jimmy. And you, Lynn. And you, Rusty. He was as much man as any of us. He was the same. You pinched him, it hurt. You cut him, he bled. You hit him, it was painful. But he was also God. Well, folks, the Antichrist is not just going to be a man that you can pinch and it hurts, cut and he bleeds. He's going to be Satan incarnate. Satan is going to try to imitate God. Remember? That was his problem. I took you back to Ezekiel and Isaiah. That was his problem, his pride. He wanted to be above God. And so God has the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, Satan has the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, his trinity. And we said that the beast does what? Two C's I gave you. This is the sorest class I've ever had. Huh? You weren't here, were you? I can't hold them accountable. The two C. Well, it ain't in the Bible, so you couldn't. But that's okay. Remember, it's about control. And I gave you the things that how he controls. What was the first one? Starts with an M, the second one's I, and the next one's L.
Military.
Remember, listen, if you're going to control people, folks, you have to have an army to control them, right? You have to have somebody that can come in and squeeze them if they need squeezing. But then how else was he going to control?
Money.
Huh? Well, no. The second one. Huh? No, the second one. No, religion. Listen, and I don't mean this, don't take this wrong. I'm just trying to make an example. There's a guy in Rome, and I say guy respectfully. There's a guy in Rome. Does he not control millions through religion? He's got all the authority, they say. Well, if you're going to control people, you'll have to have a military. You'll have to do it religiously. And then John, how was it? Quit looking down, John. You can't be reading it now. I'm trying to see what you know. Economically. Look, I go, sure, they're the only ones listening to me. If I said to you in the morning, you can't buy, sell, or eat unless you've got my identification. Sorry. Unless you can go in and show my... You can't say sorry, honey. Because otherwise you starve to death. That's the control they'll have over you. But now I gave you something. I gave you something. You remember there was a group that would not be controlled.
And they couldn't eat. They couldn't
buy and sell. No, I'm past that. There was a group that could not be controlled. Who was the group?
The remnant.
What was the identifying mark of that group?
Mark of Christ.
Whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb. In other words, if you're saved, you won't take that mark. You may starve to death, but you're not taking that mark because your name is written in the book of life of the Lamb. You won't be controlled by Satan's religion. You won't be controlled by Satan's army. They may kill you. And they do. Remember, it says, and the beast had power over the saints to slay them. But you're not taking his mark. That's important. File that somewhere, if you've got somewhere to file it, if you don't get you a filing cabinet up here somewhere. Now, you remember how it all ended. In that chapter. Anybody remember how it all ended? Yes. The number. The number of a
man.
So I know. Hey. I just told you. He's a man. But he's Satan. Satan's right inside him. Just like Judas. And it said. Because the Bible says. And Judas. And Satan having entered Judas. What did Judas do? He did the one thing that you'd think nobody in this world would have the guts to do. Betray the Son of God. But he did. And I say to you today, and I've said it to you many, many times. A person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. An unsaved person, I don't care if they're your neighbor that you love. They are capable of Satan or a demonic spirit entering them and them doing heinous things.
Right.
And you'd say, well, they were the sweetest people. I would have never thought that. That's the battle we're in, folks. We got to recognize the battle we're in. Now, that being said and this being done, go to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. So we're moving from 13 to... Oh, well, good class. I knew y'all could get that one.
We're so smart.
You are. Give everybody an A for knowing what follows 13. All right. Now, I want to read the last verse of chapter 1, and then I want to go to chapter 2. For the Lord knoweth the way of the
righteous,
but the of the ungodly. Now, is that not the thread I've given you every single time I've stood up here? The thread is the way of righteousness and the way of unrighteousness. In other words, the way that's right and the way that's wrong. That's why he says in Isaiah, he says that a lost person's righteousness is as filthy rags. Why? Because it's the wrong way. Look, I know people want to do what they think is right. You know, and we sort of have that mentality. I want to do what's right. But folks, without Christ, you don't know what's right. Without Christ, I don't know what's right. Because if without Christ, there's not one right. In other words, what I think's right, you may think, you know, you may not think is right. Or what you think is right, I may not think is right. But when Christ is in the picture, we agree, this is the right way. That's why he says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. That's right. So, all right, so he says, for the Lord knoweth the way of righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage? Or let me read that to you in my paraphrase version. You might understand what it's saying. Why is the unsaved's life so full of turmoil? Why is it such a tumultuous life? That's what he's saying. Everybody knows what tumultuous means, don't you? I mean, it's just every day it's something else. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why would they meditate on something that is empty? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Did that happen? Well, sure it did. I mean, the religious rulers got together and got Judas to betray the Son of God, and then they took him before the political rulers, the government. That's what he said would happen. It happened. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cut away their cords from us. In other words, what did they say when he said, when Pilate came out and said, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? What will you have me to do with your king? Remember that? What was their answer? We will not have this man to rule over us. Is that not what it says happens? They reject him. They wanted to get rid of him. But it wasn't them wanting to do it. Who was really behind it? Satan. They were just being, listen, if the Holy Spirit's not in you, if you reject Christ, I'm telling you, you can do things you'd never imagine. Because it's not about you, it's about Satan and Christ. So he says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in, what does that mean? Confusion. Well, just last week, did I not read to you in chapter 13 where the false prophet is able to make a statue of the beast to talk? Did I not tell you in Thessalonians where it says, because they receive not the love of the truth, therefore, for that very reason, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. Well, it's a lie to think a stone image can talk. But it's also a lie to believe that you can go to heaven not through Christ. And the world is full of that. I heard just the other day, I hope y'all know my heart. I wouldn't judge anyone. It's not my place to judge anyone. But a so-called, or I shouldn't say it that way, as they say in court, strike that. That's not the way I want to say it. I heard a man that professes Christianity. And this person had died. That had lived, I will say, a scrupulous life. And his words were, God rest his soul. We have to be careful with that, folks. When you die, your soul better be already at rest. And I know what they mean. They mean well. I don't take that from them. They mean well, but they're wrong. You know, you can be wrong. You can say stuff that you think is the right thing to say, but it's wrong. When you die, As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Now, we're going to talk about rest today, the reason that crossed my mind, but I'm moving on. Then shall he speak unto them in wrath. Unto who? Well, them, the ones that tried to get rid of him. You say, who's that? Everyone that rejects him. He shall speak to them in wrath. Well, that don't sound like God rest his soul to me. And vex them in his sore. Let me ask you something. I'm asking you point blank. When they spit in his son's face, do you think God was pleased?
No.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think God's ever forgotten anything except your sin? He would forget theirs if they repented of that. But if they don't, you can rest assured, my friend, he's not forgotten it.
That's right.
And he's going to vex them. He's going to trouble them. That's why he says it's a time of trouble. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. There's coming a time in this world when God and God himself is going to trouble this world for what they did to his son. Mm-hmm. Yet have I set my king. You got to get this. Here's what they wanted to do. They wanted to do away with my son. They wanted to kill my son. You're the only ones listening. I'm coming over here. But I'm going to set my son as king. He's going to reign as King Dwayne. Don't let this world tell you anything else. And the king is over it all. I have set my king. Where does it say? Huh? Oh, you better file it. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Unto you, he says in Isaiah, unto you a son is given. God gave his only son. His son humbled himself. The heir of everything humbled himself and became a servant and a sacrifice for you and for me and for all these rejectors. But one day that's going to be different. He won't come back the next time as that suffering servant, that sacrificial lamb. He'll come back, bless God, as the king. Installed by his father. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Does he not say that we will be heirs and joint heirs with Christ? He says, blessed God, if you will not do like them, if you accept my son, I'll give you everything. Everything these fools, and I say that respectfully to fools, everything these fools thinks belong to them, the must of the world that have are worth $190 billion that uses vulgarity because he says, well, you're going to blackmail me with money? I know what he was saying. That's absurd to think you, hey, I'm worth $190 billion and you think you can blackmail me by taking some money from me? But his problem is this. He doesn't understand it's God's. I'm going to get it one of these days. Hey, all these billionaires that fly around and think they're so-so, I'll be flying around one of these days thinking I'm so-so because I am so-so. I belong to the Son. And he says, ask of me, I'll give it all to you. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now that's pretty harsh, wasn't it? That was harsh, and I tried to make it sound harsh for a reason. It is harsh. But do you remember what he said in Habakkuk, the prayer of Habakkuk that I read to you? I know you don't. That's okay. I don't even know why I do that to you. But it's my way of teaching, so just bear with me. He said, in thy wrath, remember mercy. You'll see that. You'll see that. He's done pronounced sentence on them, right? Hey, I'll break you with a rod of iron. But then listen to what he says. Be wise now, therefore, because of what I just said to you, because you know the end of all this. Be wise. You say, Tom, I'm dumber than a coal bucket. Me, not you. I'm talking about me. That was to me. I'm dumber than a coal bucket. How can I be wise? Well, honey, you come to wisdom. You come to the one who is all wise. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. And you will know what it means to belong to His Son. So he says, be wise now, therefore, you kings. Be instructed. Listen to my instructions. Ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear. Now that word fear there, I've given it to you so many times. It has a dual meaning. First, it means phobeo. How many of you has got a fear? I'll tell you one of mine. I have a dental phobia. You send me to the dentist and I'll tell you somebody that is scared out of their mind. Come from my childhood, seeing Doc Elton, my dad holding me in the church while Doc Elton drilled on me. It created a phobia. I've got a fear of heights. You take me up somewhere high and I have to look down. And I'm telling you right now, I may pass out. I don't know, it's just something comes over you and there's such a fear. Well, that's the word. Have an exceeding fearfulness when you talk about God. But it also has the meaning of reverence. But you see, you can't do the latter until you do the former. Until you have a phobeo fear. Until you realize who God is. He said, remember he said this, fear not him who can kill the body. In other words, if somebody walks in here today and they've got a gun and they say, Tom, if you don't denounce Christ, I'm going to blow your brains out. He says, don't fear him. Because all he can do is blow your brains out. That ain't you. He says, fear him. That can destroy both body and soul. Where?
In hell.
In hell. Well, look that word up sometime. It means have an exceeding fearfulness. You could spend eternity, and I say spend, I shouldn't say that because there's no way to spend it. You don't spend it. You could be in eternity in hell forever. Because that's what eternity is. I sent my brother an email or a message alert the other day. And I said, eternity in men's terms. He sent me back and he said, well, Tom, I've been preaching eternity for a long time. There's no men's terms to eternity. I said, well, David, in the Bible it says day and night. Day and night. Day and night, day and night. Would you think there's an end to that? Night follows day, day follows night. That's the Bible's way of explaining to us in human terms of what eternity is. It's never ending. It's as far as the east is from the west. That is just literal terms that human beings can relate to. I can't relate to eternity. I've never been in it. But I can relate to day after day, night after night, right? So he says, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. What would you think that's in there for? Huh? Well, why would you think that's in there? I'll go over here. They help me out a lot. If Dwayne said, honey, kiss me, and that's just hypothetical. You can do it later. What would you have to do? I mean, you can't kiss them where you are. You ain't got that long lips. If you're going to kiss somebody, you're going to have to get close. What does the Bible say about that? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Well, let me tell you something. You ain't going to draw nigh to God unless you first fear him. Unless you first know who he is, you ain't going near him. He doesn't allow that. So he says, kiss the Son, lest he be and ye perish from the... You better draw nigh to me, he says, or you're going to perish. See, that's the amazing grace and the mercy of God there. He's told him all the bad stuff. But he says, now, I want you to know that I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. It won't take a lot of God's anger, folks, to kill a bunch. If you've not seen that in Revelation so far, you've not seen it. All he has to do is what? What does he have to do? Oh, if he closes it, you're done. The Bible says, in whom you're in his hand, in whom is thy breath? So if he closes it, you ain't breathing any longer. That's all he has to do. That's how great he is. Now, speaking of great, look at real quick. I won't get far today. I know that. Y'all understood that by now. We're going to 48. I'm going to be there very briefly. And then I'm going to move on. Okay. Psalms 48. A very, very familiar verse with everyone. Great is the Lord. Now that word great, it's an interesting word. It means to be great in all senses. In other words, whatever you can come up with in your mind, God's greater. It comes from a root word, which means large in every sense. Let's take a few things, for example. Love. How great is God's love? Well, the Bible says it's immeasurable. Joy. How great is the joy of God? Well, the Bible says it's unspeakable and full of glory. Peace. How great is God's peace? It's beyond understanding. Do you get the idea now? It wouldn't matter. His mercy, well, it endureth forever. So what he's saying is we need to understand how great God is. Great is the Lord, and... Well, then apply that same word to praise. Is that not sobering? If his love is immeasurable, I got to talk to somebody. Rusty. If His love is immeasurable, then what should your praise be?
Immeasurable.
Large in every sense of the word. There shouldn't be enough room in this house this morning for our praise to God. For not what He's done, but for who He is. He's great. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. His holiness is great. It's large in every sense of the word. Well, does He not impart to us His holiness? Then what kind of lives should we live? The Bible says in all manner of holiness. We don't have our holiness. We have His. Well, His is great. You say, but Tom, I'm not Him. You got Him. You've got Him. Our problem is what I've told you for years. Our problem is the flesh that He's housed in. We won't get it out of the way. We give in to the flesh too much, folks. We blame on Satan what's the flesh. Satan has no power over you or me. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. That's true. But the flesh that we're housed in, the Bible says, is not subject to the law of God, the Word of God. Neither can be. That's the problem. That's why our praise in here is not great. I don't mean that condemningly. I don't mean that rock throwing. I'm trying to get us to understand God. If God's in us, should our praise not be large? But I understand it's not. And hey, I'm more guilty than any of you. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north in the city of the great king, God is known in all her palaces for a refuge. Do you not see a God as your refuge? I mean, can you not look back on your life in sin? I can. Man, it was ugly. But I found refuge. Is that not worthy of my praise?
Yes, absolutely.
Remember I talked about life as being a tumult? It's always like this. When I found Christ, I came into a harbor. I've anchored my soul in Him. Is that not worthy of His praise? For do the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we've seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Listen, how long is Jerusalem going to be? That's God forever. And this world's going to find it out. By the way, that's Zion. According, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments, walk about Zion, and go around about her. Tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bullocks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Zion, the city of God. Anybody remember what was in chapter 7? Don't look. Just if you don't, just say, Tom, my mind just won't go there. Well, in chapter 7, you remember he was going to send the four angels and they were going to hurt the earth. You remember that? And he says, now, don't hurt the earth till I've done something. What was it he was going to do? He says, until I have sealed the 144,000. And from there he gets 12,000 in each tribe, right? Now, what did we say those represent? Well, first of all, they represent 144,000 Apostle Pauls. I mean, can you imagine turning loose on this world 144,000 Apostle Pauls? What happened under his ministry? What happened?
The Gentiles
received the word. Well, the Gentiles, but the Jews too. But what happened when he would preach the gospel? Oh, listen, many were saved. Well, if you turn 144,000 Apostle Pauls loose and they preach the gospel, what do you think's going to happen? God, that's the remnant, Jimmy. They're going to be saved. That's why he sealed them. He don't want anything to happen to the 144,000. They got to go preach the gospel. And listen, nothing happened to Paul until his time was up. Remember, that's what he said. My time is now come. My departing is at hand. What God sent me to do is over. Well, that's going to be true for them too. Wouldn't it be nice to know what happened to them though? I mean, that'd be wonderful. You know, if somehow we could figure out, well, they're not mentioned anymore. In chapter 7, there they are, and they go preach, and the Bible talks about millions and billions around the throne, and we see the results, right? Well, when you go to chapter 14, guess what? He says, I looked, and I saw a lamb. Glory. And with him stood 144,000 on Mount Zion, bless God. Well, now we know that they're representative not only of the gospel being preached, but the results of the gospel of the saved. But folks, it's no different from me or you. If we believe the gospel, one day, bless God, we're going to stand with the Lamb. Well, glory, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit going up on that. That's the end result. Kiss the Son, he said. Lest he be angry with them. He ain't angry with them here. I'll read it to you. Okay, I got to get over there before I read it to you. He says, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion. And with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. Where did the beast put his identifying mark? In the forehead or on the wrist, on the back of the hand. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'll take God's mark, won't you? Yeah. Y'all can come on in if you want to. I'll take God's mark because I'm going to tell you something. I already know what happens to the beast and his crowd. I can tell you what's going to happen if you've got God's mark. Right here. You know what it says, don't you?
Mine.
Huh?
Mine.
We could say that. God's. It means it belongs to God. Listen, if you belong to God, if God be for you, who can be against you? Who can lay anything to the elect of God? Huh? That's the identifying mark, Jimmy. When you come through Christ, He puts God's name on you. Bless God, and you're going to be there forever. And when New Jerusalem comes down, guess what the Bible says? And I saw New Jerusalem come down from God out of heaven, adorned like a bride, adorned for her husband. What a glorious time it's going to be. And He said, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Listen, they're going to have a song that you can't sing. They're going to have a song that I can't sing because they were redeemed at a time I wasn't redeemed from. I was redeemed at a red light in Winter Park, Florida, February 1982. God put His name right there. You say, I don't see it. You don't have to. God does. Bless God, when the breath goes out of my body, when they cast dirt over my body, you can say, well, Tom, glory, He's standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb, just waiting to come on down. And they sung as it were a new song before the beast and the elders. You know where the beast and the elders were, don't you? Remember? They were around the throne. Well, that's where we're going to be. Around the throne, singing a song. It's a song the holy angels cannot sing, as that song goes. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. I made a little note over here and I said this. They are pure. Well, without pureness, you ain't going. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall. You got that right. And without it, you won't see Him. And He says, And they were faithful. He says, and they follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes. Listen, I don't believe in this crowd that says, oh, well, I used to know Him, but I'm not being where I need to be anymore. I need to, listen, if you're redeemed, bless God, you follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. That's what this says. And I know some won't agree with me on that. They'll have to disagree with this. If God lives in you, you're going to follow the Lamb wherever so you goeth. You're going to be faithful. I didn't say to perfection, Jimmy. I said that's the direction you take. It is required of a steward that they be found faithful. These were faithful. Not only that, they were the first fruit. What does that mean? Well, who was the first fruit of the resurrection? Jesus. What does that mean, honey? What does it mean when it says Jesus is, and I'm going to quit here because I'm going to run out of breath. What does it mean when it says that Jesus was the first fruit? It means there's more going to follow. What do you think it means? Huh? That I knew you'd get it. The first fruit means that it's just the first. There's more coming. Well, here, they were the first fruits of what? Remember, they were sealed. But they were just the first fruits. More was coming. And they all get to sing a song that others can't sing because they were redeemed and took not the mark. And He goes on to say this, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Jude says this, unto Him who is able to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. Paul said this, that he might present his church without spot and without wrinkle. Listen, if you know Christ, bless God, that's who you are. They may be days you don't act like it. They may be days you don't talk like it. But I'm telling you right now, you can come on in. I'm about to finish. You can come on in. But your direction is one of purity. Your direction is one of faithfulness. Your direction is one where there's no guile. It's without fault. It's without spot. Because you are with the Lamb. I'll quit. I'm done. See you next week.